Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. I'm answering questions now because when I see comments, sometimes they give me a reason to do another podcast because they're asking a question. And I think this is a good one here. The difference between nervous system regulation and, well, frankly, even emotional regulation, which there's a difference. The difference between those things and processing buried emotions. So if you look at the trauma researchers like Bessel van der Kolk, they'll say genuine transformation, that's an important phrase, involves processing buried emotions in present moment awareness. And if you've done KI, you know that that's what KI is to do that safely and effectively. But even though Bessel and these researchers are leading the way, of course, if you pay attention to therapy and the unfolding of therapy and addiction treatment, and I think eventually even the medical field, because trauma and emotional repression drives disease and chronic pain. But there's this sort of other, what do you put this? I want to explain this, but first I want to talk about nervous system regulation, which I think is a term that I started to hear, at least when we started to become more trauma-informed. When I say we, I mean the public. It was after I opened my treatment centers that I really started to notice that people were just talking about trauma more, becoming more trauma-informed. I was also in that world of treatment centers and mental health centers, so those were things we talked about and things we knew about. To state it simply, trauma and emotional repression came into my life as a spiritual teacher because I opened a treatment center based in non-dual awareness and mindfulness and somatic inquiry. It was the first of its kind in the States. So obviously we bridged these things together. And in doing that, I learned a lot of and taught a lot of and collaborated with people on nervous system regulation. In fact, when people would come off the streets on heroin or just getting off drugs or something, the most that they could do was just kind of manage day to day. If they couldn't do deeper inquiry, who could do inquiry, maybe they'd been there a while. Like in the first detox, people can't really do things. But as they stay there a while, they start to go deeper into something which would be more transformative than just regulating their nervous system. So you can define that differently, nervous system regulation, but it's kind of just like it sounds. It's like your nervous system is dysregulated, so regulate it. Now people, there's a full range of things there because some things are better than other things. You can go on the internet and see some things that are pretty good in terms of, for people who have trauma, you know, polyvagal nerve, all those things that are, you know, really out there and innovative. I don't want to lump everything together. There's everything that you can imagine to regulate your nervous system, from taking a cold bath to singing, to relaxation techniques, breathing techniques, tapping, just so many different things, different ways of moving your body, holding different parts of your body. They all have a reason and a purpose and a function. They help in some way regulate the system when you feel dysregulated, when you need that, or as a regular practice that helps you. Perhaps if it's a better technique, it helps you ground in present moment awareness a little bit more, which is good. All of that is good to a certain degree. That is, if you have dysregulation, suffering, and you don't know where it comes from. I mean, that's how I would differentiate nervous system regulation and even emotional regulation in therapy. Distinguish that from processing buried emotions in presence. When you process buried emotions, you see why you're dysregulated. if you don't process the buried emotions, they remain buried, as does the conditioning that creates the dysregulation at the surface. Am I making sense? And so it has to do, in my view, with the level or the state of consciousness of the individual. And I mean that. And let me explain. If you process buried emotions and the dysregulation in your life goes away, you start to see suffering go away. You don't need to regulate your nervous system in that same way. But it's not like a black or white thing. It's not like you regulate your nervous system at the surface and then you just process buried emotions and you're done. It's more like you regulate your nervous system in various ways and you keep doing it, and then you start processing buried emotions and you're still regulating your nervous system because there's still some suffering, but you keep processing the buried emotions and the suffering goes away and it goes away and it goes away. And then now you don't regulate your nervous system because there's much less or little or no suffering. When there's no suffering or very little, there's nothing, there's no dysregulation, there's no upset, there's no anxiety. It's just your life force, your energy, embodying presence, to put it in spiritual terms. Presence is the ultimate nervous system regulator. But only if we embody it, which means get to the buried emotions that create the disturbance at the surface. If you can visualize the iceberg that I often talk about, at the tip of the iceberg is any and all dysregulation in our everyday waking consciousness, from anxiety to my partner is upsetting me today to I'm nervous all the time, all that. Even chronic pain and symptoms of disease dysregulate the system. But below the water line are the repressed emotions, the core fear of our own authenticity, the fear of rejection. Those really core fears are frozen in the body with mind-body connections. So just for the iceberg purposes, just think under the water and undetectable to us in everyday awareness, no matter how much you wake up, because buried emotions stay buried until they're specifically brought into awareness, the mind-body connections. They're there to protect us, so that we don't feel and express certain emotions, so that at the surface, we appear as whatever ego. At the tip of the iceberg, whatever ego we appear to each other in everyday life. So if I'm a people pleaser, that's at the tip. And then below the waters, I have to repress anger. If I'm a really dominant person or a big tough guy, at the tip, that's the ego I present. Under the water, I might repress the vulnerable emotions, the tender ones, sadness, hurt. Might be afraid of those. Those are frozen. And then everything you can imagine, a perfectionist at the surface, because, you know, that's what's at the surface, but it's because below the surface, that person is angry and hurt and has buried it. They never could say to mom and dad, fuck you, I'm hurt by all the ways you judge me and criticize me with your passive aggression or whatever else. This is all how it works. And there's often, with KI, we talk about the pleasure-pain cycle, how we create suffering. So we buried anger creates suffering at the surface, people-pleasing, peacemaking, which is inauthentic, and will bring triggers and relationship issues. But below the surface, it's the buried anger creating that. And when people-please or do anything, the ego at the surface, what happens is we stay safe from the buried emotions and we get love as a false separate self there at the tip, or just here in life. And therefore the suffering continues. It's our system kicks in more suffering from the, it's like, do that again. People please again, keep the peace. It's safer. And we're just not aware of how we're driven by the need for safety from under the water. And that's fear is what that is. And it's frozen and it's unconscious fear, and it produces stuff at the surface. So you have to remember now, nervous system regulation is often just dealing with things at the surface. There's no consciousness of the buried emotions. And this is a critical distinction because, you know, when you don't know that there are buried emotions, here come the stories and the anxiety, and you don't know the source. Here comes the chronic nerve pain that I had, very dysregulating, don't know the source, emotional repression. Because that emotion and it's, the fear of it is frozen. We don't feel whatever we repress. That's why we call it repression. Or they do. I didn't create that word. But if you see this duality, see, the above and below the water, you keep seeing it, then you go, oh, okay. Speaking of non-duality, we have to deal with that. Because as long as there are these buried emotions hidden, there will always be these visible egos at the surface suffering with each other. See that? You wouldn't see it in your own experience. You would only see what's at the tip. You would only see your own people-pleasing and your triggers when something happens, or you would see your arguing and fighting at the surface, but you wouldn't feel the vulnerable emotions that that protects you from under the water. See, the thing is, though, we have to just forget under the water when we talk about nervous system regulation. It's like just being here and in some way having to cope or manage with something that we don't know why it's here. We might have an idea, but we don't really know why something is here until we get to the root, which generally people do not do in nervous system regulation. They don't process buried emotions. That's a completely different skill set or methodology than different ways to regulate a system that is dysregulated because of the repression. Does that make sense? So again, what's under the water creates suffering at the tip. Of course, we're going to find ways to manage and cope. But as we manage and cope and we get a moment of safety, guess what happens? If you know the pleasure-pain cycle, this is the insidious part that people don't understand. If you regulate your system temporarily, it kicks the suffering in to come back in because our system seeks safety. Nervous system regulation gives us temporary safety. It doesn't give us the end of suffering, see? More suffering comes. And that's my main criticism of it. Even if we find ways to cope right now, just temporarily, the suffering is coming back. And everybody lives this. I don't have to say it. You guys live this. You know, you go to a spiritual practice or a retreat, and you feel open and expansive or okay for a bit. And then 3 days later or a week later, it's back to like self-contraction or some upset. And you're wondering, where did it go? My peace. But see, so the unconscious is like, well, it's all about safety. So that peace, that openness isn't safe when you go back home to your girlfriend or your husband. Repression protects us. And so that's why we go to retreats, is to experience that openness, that awareness, that non-dual even, or the silence, which doesn't have all that relationship stuff in it. And the buried emotions often don't arise in the meditation. So we're not really dealing with the root of suffering in the meditation or the spiritual practice that doesn't get to the buried emotions. And then we go right back to relationship. There's the dysregulation. So we learn ways to deal with that. But here's a big problem in it, is that a lot of the dysregulation comes from buried anger and hurt. This duo is responsible for a lot of relationship dysregulation because there are just so many shadows between the one who represses anger and their own power and then the other one, another person or even a group that represses the more vulnerable emotions like hurt or sadness. There are shadows of each other just triggering the shit out of each other, and so are the attachment styles, and it's all connected to repression. Let me explain. If I'm in a relationship with you and I get anxious because I'm afraid you're going to leave me, there's dysregulation. I might go on the internet and look for ways to regulate my anxious nervous system, but I don't understand that it's my attachment style. It's But I don't understand that what's connected to that are the buried emotions. Because if you leave me, I might have to feel, let's say, the hurt or sadness of losing you. And if that's my repression, then I'm going to be anxious around losing you. Or let's say I'm avoidant in relationship, but I don't know why. Well, these attachment styles are very relational. And instead of needing reassurance from you, like the anxious attachment, I might need to avoid you because that keeps me safe from what? Buried anger or hurt. If I'm around you all the time, or if I stay here, we may get into conflict. Even vulnerability is risky for an anger repressor because we might start off all, okay, this is how I really feel and I'm hurting, but then we might get to anger. So this is why anger repressors also sometimes repress hurt somewhat at least and are avoidant because of the conflict / vulnerability risk of every close relationship. So people are avoidant mostly of the people that they're close to, but some people just develop in a way that they're avoidant of everyone. It's important to understand the attachment styles because just either being around people or not, kind of, it's like that's how you regulate your system. If you don't have another way, it's like, I can't be here in the house with you anymore. But I don't know why, and it's unconscious. So it's like every day I go here and here and here, or I can't stand when you leave the house, an anxious attachment. So this is dysregulating in different ways. And then we regulate our system. If I seek reassurance from you before you leave, you're going to be back at 2 hours, right? Because I don't want to feel the abandonment. Well, then, and you say yes. Well, then I'm regulated. So there's just a million ways we do it. Let's say you leave and I just go take some prescription drugs or alcohol just to chill out because I can't deal with the anxiety. And then I'm regulated. So there's just, you can do it anyway. Being triggered is a way of our system regulating itself. This is where it gets deeper. I want you to just hear this for a second. What's a trigger? It's like somebody does something and there's a reaction in you or in me. But see, what never shows up in a trigger is, guess what? If you listen to me or you do KI, you know. What never shows up in a trigger? The emotions that we bury never show up. So an anger repressor might feel hurt in a trigger, or ashamed or fearful, but not angry. Well, can't feel it. Might feel a contraction, but that's the fear of the anger. That's the, they don't know that. So the trigger is, I'm unlovable for an anger repressor, or I'm wrong, or I'm not good enough, all of which blind the anger repressor to the anger within them that they can't feel that's producing all that. So the trigger comes up and it's like, oh, I'm wrong. I just feel wrong in this. And they're protected. I used to be protected all the time with this feeling that I'm unlovable. It was like a feeling of lack, like something is missing with me. Like something is wrong. I'm unlovable. And that feeling of lack or deficiency, I later found out something was missing and I needed to find it. But it was the buried anger. Because when I was triggered, I didn't have all my resources online. Like I was angry at you, but I couldn't feel it or express it. So I had to tuck it in my body and suffer in different ways and then just be triggered into hurt, shame, fear, disconnection, anything but anger. But that regulated me by being triggered. You'd say, well, how does a trigger regulate you? Well, to the system that's driven by emotional repression, anything is safer than the anger. So if we can just feel not good enough with some hurt, that's fine. If you knew how to do inquiry like we do here with utility inquiry, you would actually discover that a trigger is safer, that the body will tell you it's safer to believe I'm not good enough when my girlfriend does this than it is to feel and express hurt to her. true hurt or cry or get angry, which could risk rejection or losing people to the unconscious. It doesn't necessarily happen in real life, but the conditioning of our body says it does, it will, or it could. Therefore, as long as we're in relationship, basically we're going to suffer. I mean, there are some relationships which have learned to manage it, but it's the repression that creates the suffering and the self-protection and triggers where people don't connect and they don't resolve issues. Because if I'm being false in a trigger, but I don't know it, how am I going to resolve the issue in a way that's truly authentic for me and us? See, I could never get angry. So when I would have a trigger, there was often a boundary that I wanted to express, something that was bothering me, but I couldn't. And it was buried. And what would trigger me and partners were things like complaining and blaming. Because to me, all my life, people who complained and blamed, it's just like, God, give me a break. But that was my anger repression. The point is, when you process buried anger, you don't just start complaining and blaming. That's a suffering thing. That's not it. When you process your emotions, you don't have to suffer like complaining and blaming. People do. The problem is that I needed to feel and express anger to regulate my system. So with buried anger, when I looked at people who would complain and blame, that just got too close to the anger that I had, and I didn't know that. And so I judged them to stay safe. There's the regulation from my own anger. And I would have problems with authority. That's another way of regulating. It's just like, it's not my problem, it's yours. Shadows. Like, oh, I hate authority. I hate, he just thinks he knows it all, or he's whatever. And then that feeling that goes with that is the anger or hurt or other repression. Can't be the authority for myself. So I'll stay safe and regulate my system by just making that guy into the issue or the narcissist. That's a way we do it too. And then there are all the other ways that are just more clinical and helpful and healthier than these ways. Suffering is a way to regulate our system according to the unconscious. But think about it this way. If you go, of course, above that, there are techniques and things that can help you with triggers, which in and of themselves are dysregulating, even though they keep us safe from buried emotions. It's. I hope you hear me. The triggers are there to keep us safe from buried emotions, but they're still part of the suffering. So even though one may know intellectually that by listening here or whatever, that core limiting beliefs like I'm not good enough are there and have been since childhood as like survival patterns. You could say it that way. It's just safer. That's what I've been saying lately. If you could really just think about it for a moment, it's just safer for a little kid to go into their room and just feel like there's something wrong with them and feel it deeply than it is for them to march back into the room and just get fucking angry. It isn't safe, or hurt, or cry. So that's a human animal unable to feel and express what's true. And we don't know. It's such the status quo that when I say it, it's so widespread that it doesn't sound shocking, maybe. But it's really shocking that we do that to each other, to ourselves, and to our kids. We don't yet understand that a child and really a person, in order to be healthy and free and connected to themselves and others, have to be able to feel and express safely emotion. We have to figure that out as humans somehow, the safe space for that. But here's the other thing. We can't rely on other people to always provide the safe space. Here's why I think that's true. If we rely on our partners who trigger us, we seriously cannot get the safe space. See that? And then when we go to our therapist, what we have to be careful with therapists and teachers is that if they don't process their buried emotions, they'll sit here and say to you like, or get you to think in some way that I'm here to make you feel safe. Can you just sit with me? I want to make you feel safe. so we can explore this stuff. Now you would think, well, that's a good thing. Of course it's a good thing, because what if the helper said, I'm going to sit here and make you feel very nervous the whole time that you're going to, you know, look into your core limiting beliefs. I'm going to do things that are just going to be upsetting and slightly traumatizing, but I want you to relax and just trust me. So of course, I always laugh because it's like, well, of course the setting, the group setting or the one-on-one setting or the retreat or the therapist's office has to be safe. That to me is almost ridiculous to even say, because the nervous system is in control of that. There's not a single client who would be even be able to open up if the system didn't feel safe. Now, the thing is that people who go to teachers, we, and go to therapists, we don't know why we're suffering. That's why we go there. And if they don't know why we're suffering, they're going to help us manage, cope, bypass, of course, or do something other than truly help us end the suffering. Because to end the suffering, we have to process the root, which is the buried emotions. But if that practitioner or teacher isn't talking about that, we're going to be regulating the system in some way. And this is where it breaks down in different ways. Because, you know, even presence practices and Eastern practices, to me, even though there's a realization or a shift that can happen, we're still regulating suffering, because many people are waking up, but the suffering doesn't end. So it's like they thought that awareness itself would be the great regulator. It is, but if it's not embodied, the buried emotions continue to create the suffering in awareness. And you could be stuck in kind of a witnessing things come and go cycle for a long time and wonder, you know, because you're going to have to regulate your system through all that, come back to presence or process or just breathe or something, because recognizing presence doesn't stop the suffering for many people. And I got diseases and addiction after the presence recognition, the non-dual presence. If you don't know what non-dual presence is, you know, look it up. But I think most of my audience does. So, okay, if you can see the iceberg in your mind, and you know that what I'm saying is most therapies and many spiritual teachings do not process buried emotions, so they go at the tip of the iceberg. And that makes them regulating. Even though that some Eastern practices that have the universal definition of awakening, which means meditation practices, things come and go in awareness, and you see that awareness is the ground of everything. That's more than just nervous system regulation. That is not, for example, the same as someone who's doing something just to calm down in the moment. However, the Eastern practices and teachings have the same effect of not getting to buried emotions, which is exactly what nervous system regulation methods often do, not do. They don't get to the buried emotions, just like the Eastern practices and teachings. And so the people are stuck in a never-ending loop of managing, coping, allowing, resting with, resisting, or not resisting, witnessing, regulating the effects of buried emotions. And here's where one gets on like this avoidant spiritual path or process, because if you don't know you have buried emotions, you would be driven by them, which means driven by a need to stay safe from them. Don't get into any situation in which you might get close to them. And then that includes any practice or method. And this is something I didn't understand, is in all the time I was experimenting with different processes, the one who was experimenting was the conditioning of repression. The observer was the observed, because it's like I thought I was just looking out into the world for an answer, but I was looking out in the world for safety, because I didn't look for the processing of buried anger. I looked away from that, and for my system to call it chronic pain, it was safer. It was physical, the pain, but in the end it was emotional work that made the pain dissolve. So truly it was emotional. So I had a belief system that I discovered that keeps me safe from belief, Well, to believe it's chronic pain and not anger repression kept me safe from the anger repression. Even chronic pain is regulating. It's hard to imagine, but if you understand that unconscious drives everything, then anything you're conscious of is being driven. See that? But you don't see the operating system, because otherwise it wouldn't work. In other words, you wouldn't suffer. You wouldn't have anything to regulate if you'd process the buried emotions where the operating system is. Mind-body connections. So bottom line or takeaway, since I'm at my 30-minute mark here, is should you use nervous system regulation techniques? Everybody does. Of course you will. Because your system has to be regulated. The suffering, people find ways to deal with suffering, whether it's heroin or some somatic breathing exercise. We figure it out one way or another. So that will just go on. The idea that that's going to stop, I think, is ridiculous, because a nervous system that has trauma can't stop trying seeking relief. Even the seeking of the relief is dysregulating, though, because as we seek future or different things, it's like we're stirring up the anxiety around our experience. Ruminating even has been shown to be coming from repression, where we sit and think about our experience and try to regulate, figure out ways to regulate it or feel better or search for the next this or that practice, method, breathing pattern, tapping, meditation, neural this or that machine that you hook up, and we used to have machines in the treatment field where there's all sorts of neurofeedback. The point is, there's nothing wrong with any of it. But if you look at the science, it confirms Freud's initial finding, which is emotional repression drives suffering at the surface. If you look at the therapists and the therapies and the theories that came after Freud, they did not dispute that finding, but instead they proposed different theories, many of which were not connected to Freud's finding around buried emotions. People were trying to find alternatives, different theories. They were playing around at the tip of the iceberg when Freud was pointing under the water. And because those emotions are buried and that scared people, it was many, many years later, after so many therapies, including attachment theory, came and went, that we heard from Bessel van der Kolk, who said true transformation is processing buried emotions in present awareness. So we're evolving, is what I'm saying. We're evolving and we're coming back to initial old insights that continue to ring true despite man's attempt to just only regulate their system, which is the insights of the East, because despite the bypass and what I said about Eastern practices and teachings, the recognition of awareness is foundational. That's what Bessel van der Kolk is saying, present awareness. And then the processing of buried emotions is like, this is Freud's finding. It's been here for a while, and now we have a ton of science on it. So these are things that endure time, and we need to come back to them, upgrade the non-dual stuff, the Eastern practices, to include the processing of buried emotions, upgrade the therapies to include the awareness, because you can't get to the root of suffering anywhere in therapy until you follow Bessel van der Kolk's suggestion, which is you can only process buried emotions in present awareness, grounding yourself as that. And as we do that, then again, increasingly, and it's not, it doesn't just end one day, but increasingly we just don't have to manage suffering anymore, because it's not there. Until it goes away, we're going to be regulating whatever comes up, because we're sensitive beings. We're creating suffering. We don't realize it. It's like we're creating suffering and then trying to get rid of it. That's a dysregulating experience. Of course, we're going to seek relief. The problem is, we're hardwired to seek only what we need to right now to feel safe and survive. That's how we've got here as beings, is just survive, do a bunch of stuff today and get a little bit of food, survive. Find some shelter, survive. Feel better for a moment after being attacked by animals, survive. Just get out of danger in the moment, survive. Luckily, you know, that's the conditioning, but our presence is always here and grounded. It's not focused. Our awakeness itself isn't focused on survival of a separate self. It's the foundation of it all. When we recognize that awareness here in the moment, that conditioning that's constantly creating dysregulation can finally be allowed. We finally allow it. Changed everything for me. It really did. It changed everything. All my suffering started to go away, whatever is left of it. A lot of physical stuff, frankly. And then that's just in itself regulating because you don't have to manage symptoms. That's a much calmer life. I don't have to regulate relationship triggers. Because if you can feel and express what's true and you have boundaries, you don't get into trauma bonds where there is just suffering that you can't resolve or conversations you can't have. So that's definitely regulating to the system, even when I'm not around people. Because with repression and you leave people, if you're an anxious or an avoidant attachment, you're running something in your system to get away from them. It's not regulating. But as you process the buried emotions and you just get space from people, there's no anxiety in it. There's no anxiety being with people. We may have boundaries because we appreciate our alone time and we do things then that we don't do with people. But that's different. We're not then, in our authenticity, we're not constantly trying to regulate a system and manage suffering anymore. I hope that inspires you to go beyond just the usual talk that you hear on the internet of like, we have to regulate our emotions. The reason you have to regulate your emotions is because you're suffering. If you weren't suffering, you wouldn't have to. There's a link in the description to begin the process of safely processing buried emotions and presence. And to my KI Jumpstarts, you just join right up and learn the work in a month's time. And then I let you go, you let me go. But if I really suggest that my 90-day intensive to come work with me one-on-one and let me show you what it means to be skillful in spiritual practice and safe at the same time, to actually transform but still stay safe, which is so important because that's why we regulate our system. So KI, one of the first markers, or the first marker, is safety, so that our system is regulated the whole time we're doing it. And the second marker is that we're actually getting to the root of the suffering in the body. Thank you for listening.